Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. In the studio, Sandy Williams is Sandy Williams on Mondays. Let's go to the phone line and Curtis from West Dallas. Hey, Curtis, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, Earl, how you doing? Hey, Sandy, it's awesome to hear you again.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say... Yeah, with CJ calling, I mean, he keeps on hit by repeating himself about Biden being weak. My mistake is it takes, United States is a big team. We're not just one person. Biden is just not one, he's like one president, but he's not one person. We have a lot of entities to build it up. Is that correct?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's a lot of continuity.
Curtis?
So I just, yeah.
Listen, man, don't let CJ get under your skin, man. It's tough enough for me and Sandy to, you know, he is who he is, right? And he can't help himself. So he's limited in what he can talk about and what he can say. So that's where he is. But don't let him bother you anymore, man. I've long since learned to accept who he is and not expect any different conversation than what he's limited to talk about. He can't help it.
Oh, no, well, the whole thing is all talking. A lot of it, what he's saying is all talking points. It's kind of sad. But the one thing I love about your radio station is you put everybody on the radio, no matter who they are, what they say. So I think that's plus-plus for you guys, you know?
Hey, man, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Sandy Tom is back. They can't resist CJ. Maybe we need to. CJ is following what I used to do. I used to be CJ.
Well, I doubt that. don't sell yourself short. Don't sell yourself short.
Right. Okay, Tom, go ahead.
All right, Earl. What I'd like to say is that CJ probably is going to blame Biden or Obama on the price of tea in China, since you brought that up, knowing him. I'm really, really thankful for CJ because I don't have to listen to right-wing radio because he basically just spews out everything that they say in about 5 minutes. So thanks for that, CJ. And I think we ought to come up with a nickname for CJ. Different aliases.
I think I'll pass on that.
Parrot. I like to call him Parrot. The Parrot.
Yeah. Well, he's...
He just says whatever they say on right-wing radio. He repeats it. So we should call him the parent.
Hey, Tom, I got to run, man. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. You know, Sandy, I wanted to talk before we get out of here about the decisions that were made last week with the state Supreme Court that basically all sided with what's in the best interest of Republicans when it comes to elections and voting. And I shouldn't say that because there are some Republicans who vote early and who took advantage of, you know, the boxes and all of those kinds of things. To act as if that was solely just something that Democrats did is not true. That was put in place and everybody had an opportunity, Republicans as well as Democrats.
Well, I don't think the Supreme Court didn't rule. I don't think that the
drop boxes themselves.
That the drop boxes invalidated the votes in the prior election. I think they had to do with the capacity of the rulemaking capacity of the Election Commission to declare such things going forward. And, you know, that's a matter of law and legal question. And I'm not sure that we can stand up and shout and say it was glaringly wrong. And I think the issue is whether people are playing by the rules as the rules have been announced and the rules of the game when you're playing the game. And that's the drop boxes were okay, according to the rules of the game at the time of the election. And I think drop boxes make a lot of sense anyway. But the question is just, how do you decide and how should Wisconsin decide in the future if they want to implement drop boxes and how must that be carried out in the future?
Well, you know, Sandy, again, drop boxes aren't just for Democrats. They're for everybody.
Right. So, that's the question of whether the rule of the game was fair. The rules of the game were fair. But the question the Supreme Court was addressing is how should the rules of the game be implemented, and can drop boxes be implemented in the way they were implemented in that contest? And they came down on the negative side on that. They didn't say the drop boxes were invalid for the prior election. They just said that
henceforward
that process, it can't be implemented in that way. And so, okay, that's the way it's going to be.
You know, I don't know.
I mean, we haven't had drop boxes in the past.
Right.
For many elections. So, you know.
Here's what I think, Sandy. I honestly think that because they've done away with the drop boxes now, to think that people are going to say, well, I'm not going to vote because they won't allow us to use drop boxes. I think the opposite is going to happen. The people who are going to be outraged enough that they've done everything to try to take away our rights to do this, it's going to backfire.
Well, I think the fact that it's part of the complete attention that's being focused, particularly by the conservatives, on how voting is accomplished and all of the ways that they're trying to restrict the ways that it can be easily accomplished is what's going to excite people into voting. The drop boxes is one of the issues, but it's symptomatic of all of the issues that they've decided to focus so much time and energy and money upon. And I do think that's going to backfire. I hope it does.
Yeah, you know, to just somehow think that we've got all of these people who are committing these voting crimes, and you know, all of a sudden this is the case. I remember going back, Sandy, 20 years when the argument was, well, they're giving cigarettes out for people to vote. You remember those?
Yeah.
Republicans were saying they're people who are giving out this is what they're doing, and they're offering food, and they're offering. Listen, people have a right to vote in this country. It's been stated over and over again. One of the most important things of our nation.
Well, incidentally, when President Trump talks about all the voter fraud that has occurred, and when people talk about it, they can't even come up with examples like cigarettes. Or anything whatsoever. Food? Nope. You know, at one point, there was a discussion about whether people should be offered water while they're standing in line
yes.
to vote.
Which was, now all of a sudden, no.
And I mean, it's not like people were being enticed to come and vote by being the promise of being given water. That wasn't even it was just like, these people are being enabled to stand in line because they're being given water while they stand in line. It's like, okay.
So my whole thought about all of that is, and I remember because they narrowed down the places where people could vote, and it's steaming outside, and there are elderly people standing in line, yeah. and you offer them water, and how is that? You know, turned into, well, these people are illegally voting.
Well, I mean, you know, the notion and the old assertions about offering cigarettes or food was that people were lured into voting,
right.
essentially bribed into voting by a promise of something, okay?
Right.
And there's been no suggestion of that whatsoever in all of these national allegations of rampant fraud, and no one has come up with a single anecdote about, or an example of any such thing. You know, the theories were all wild theories about maverick computer chips inserted into voting machines on a conspirational basis by some company that was in cahoots with the Democrats.
Truckloads of ballots coming up and being dropped off. We saw those and under the table.
So anyway, the point is that we shouldn't even waste our breath talking about a voter fraud, which has only been the subject of hot air and has not been the subject of one single bit of hard evidence. You know, I think of all of this, they've been able to come up with, you know, probably under 100 cases of people who voted in multiple districts or did some such thing.
Let's go to Bob. Hey, Bob, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, Earl. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been listening for most of the morning. It is my first chance to call in. And I think we've got the wealthiest have a misunderstanding of how things work. Well, they gather money to themselves. The CEOs seem to make more than 300 times what the hourly wage of their employees, average hourly wage of the employees is. But if they take their wealth and took a substantial amount of it and poured it back in to the economy, to care of the poor, so the poor and their employees, that money will come back to them so fast, it will be unbelievable. Because that's the way things, the money spent will go right straight back in the economy, because the poor, so the poor have no choice but to spend the money. And when they spend the money, it'll go right back in the economy.
Actually, Bob, interestingly, what you've described is the whole reason for the failure of the trickle-down effect that Ronald Reagan was selling to the public and his economists
exactly,
were
sir.
Selling.
Exactly.
Because the poor do spend their money and the rich invest their money, and invested money doesn't come back into the economy in the same manner. When I buy a stock on the stock market, it has almost nothing to do with a job anyplace. Because I'm not investing that money in the business. I'm simply buying the stock that has already been purchased by someone and invested in the business. And I'm just paying a higher price for it and creating value for some other asset holder. So,
And you're just feeding wealth to that person you bought it from.
Yeah, so, you know, I think what we need to do is the wealthy just need to get a sense of how good this community has been to them, so that they can turn around and feel generous and positive about the taxes they might be asked to pay, which I think is a small payback.
Say, Bob, before we get out of here and go to a break, what do you think of what Sandy and I do, the content of our show and what we talk about?
Well, I think it's just fine. I would respond also that when we send military to do something that we've already lost. We win when diplomacy wins. Diplomacy is the way to go. Military
Bob, we got to go. Hang on, John. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.